We all know America's history with slavery. At least we think we do. Well, a reporting project by The Washington Post is showing us a new facet. They've documented just how many American lawmakers were themselves slaveholders. That includes 12 of the first 18 U.S. presidents. Slave-owning members of Congress were not just from the South, not just from the early days of this country, and not members of any single political party. We're joined now by one of the project's reporters, The Washington Post's Julie Weil. Hi, Julie.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you uncovered quite a rich and full picture of slaveholding in early America. What did you find?
I created a database listing every member of the U.S. Congress who was ever a slaveholder historically. And what I found was that there were more than 1,700 slaveholders elected to Congress, starting from the early years, from 1789 when Congress began. In those initial years, more than half of all congressmen for many a Congress were slaveholders. And going all the way into the 20th century, there were still former slaveholders serving in Congress.
And these were U.S. congressmen who represented 37 states. These were slaveholders not just from the South, but from every state in New England, much of the Midwest, and many Western states, right?
That's right. And I was surprised how long it took before slavery started to disappear in the northern states. There were slaveholders I was finding in the 1820 census in New England and in the 1830 census in Pennsylvania and New York and New Jersey. It really was a nationwide institution.
The last lawmakers to have enslaved people were in office well into the 20th century, well into the 1920s. What does that say about the long, slow path to recognizing our painful history?
It really, I think, says a lot about who the people who were in power were in initially all of the country and eventually in the southern states. When you look at these wealthy families who were sending people to Congress, sometimes they were among the last slaveholders in their communities. The state of Delaware had very few slave owners by the time the Civil War started, but both of their senators were slaveholders. These were the people who held power.
There was a Democrat, Rebecca Latimer Felton, who was a suffragist and a white supremacist and the first woman ever to serve in the Senate. She was a former slave owner.
She's the one and only woman, and she turns out to be the only female slaveholder to serve in Congress and the very last slaveholder to serve in Congress.
What are some of the other stories that stick out to you about your research?
You know, there's one that really sort of haunted me. There was a story of James Worthington was a congressman representing the Baltimore area who had an enslaved daughter, product of the congressman raping an enslaved woman. And he sold his daughter to a man who wanted her to bear more children who would be enslaved. And she refused. And the man who had purchased her beat her to death. And there's a man who was enslaved alongside her who escaped, who wrote a very moving account of this incident. And he wrote about all the American laws to keep back the soul. So those words from James Watkins, the former slave, it just chilled me the first time I read them, because that's really what this is about. It's about the laws that these men were passing that kept people in bondage across the country and in their own homes. So that's the quote that's been rattling through my mind.
Well, and on the other side of this, one interesting thing is how the history often written about many of these lawmakers is wrong. They're described as abolitionists, supportive of ending slavery, but the truth is many of them actually owned slaves. So your work here is really about correcting or adding a fuller picture to the record, isn't it?
Exactly. There are stories that are incomplete. It's not that the story is wrong. Both are true. Some of these people, if you look at someone like Rufus King or Charles Minor or John Floyd, they're better remembered for their anti-slavery actions than they are for the fact that if you go and look at the census records, they were enslaving people in their own households. But both are true.
Have you heard from the descendants of any of these lawmakers or any of the families whose ancestors were enslaved?
I have. I have been surprised by how many emails are coming in the past day or two from people who were descended from these congressmen. And especially gratifying are the people who are descended from congressmen who I wasn't sure whether they were slaveholders or not. This work is not finished. There's still a list of more than 600 congressmen who I'm looking for records on. And I've had quite a few emails saying, hey, that person on your list you're not sure about, he was my great-great-great-great-grandfather, and I have a letter he wrote, or I have a will, or something like that, and people are sending me records. It's really, really amazing to know what's out there. And I'm hoping more people will keep helping and I can finish the list.
That's Julie Weil, a reporter with The Washington Post. Julie, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.